I bet you've had that experience of something kind of buzzing around your head, almost as if there's an insect pestering you, trying to get your attention. It's kind of almost distracting as it moves around the edges of your awareness. But if you stop and concentrate, close your eyes, maybe try to breathe slow, you start to perceive that there's something dancing. Something dancing just beyond your consciousness. It's in and it's out. It's close and it's far. It's back and it's forth. You think about it first thing as you awaken in the morning. And then, you know, it's the last thing in your noggin before you go to sleep at night. Have you had that experience? Come, 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 Holy Spirit, come. Come, 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 Holy Spirit, come. Easy peasy, right? Ready? Try it with me. Come, 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 Holy Spirit, come again. Come, 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 Holy Spirit, come. Gretchen looked up that one for me. It's actually the chorus of a hymn that's in our book. But for me, it's like a little earworm working its way around in my head. It's been something that kind of holds me and keeps me and reminds me. It's a sticky little ditty that runs loose in me. Sometimes it comes to mind, well, frankly, when I'm in a jam. Sometimes it comes to mind when I'm not quite sure or feeling lost or trying to make a hard decision. Come, 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 Holy Spirit, come. Come, 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 Holy Spirit, come. You can sing that big. You can sing that small. Martin Luther, a very, very long time ago, lived with a burden, I think, of something hovering around. Hovering around that, that sometimes would vex him and confound him. But sometimes that hovering, well, it would satisfy and deepen and assuage him. Sometimes it was trouble, and it would provoke him. Other times, it would be reassuring and quieting in his life. He left for us a great gift, and we've inherited from him that, in ways that we preserve yet today. In fact, we teach it to our teenagers, the Catechism. It's a glorious little document intended to empower and instruct and sustain members of the church for their duty and their work. Can you remember in your head the pieces of the Catechism? There are chapters you remember, right? There's the Ten Commandments, and after each of those Ten Commandments, there is the little explanation of each of them to set them in some kind of context. It's, of course, in German in the original, and so the question that always starts the explanation is, was ist das? Or, what does this mean? If you look at the Lord's Prayer, it's divided up into that list of seven petitions, likewise followed each one of them by that was ist das kind of explanation. But what's the other big part? The creed? God the Father, this one who creates, who organizes, who pulls together all of reality. And then the second article, God the Son, right? The Son who faces down evil and faces down even death itself to prevail. But the third article, what's that one? God the... I'm surprised you know that one, because Lutherans, you know, usually get kind of... when it gets to this one. I still tease that that's why we installed the ceiling fans, so that, you know, it would discourage too much... Well, that kind of is, well, our clumsy corner. In so many ways for us Lutherans, we get a little bit nervous and inarticulate on this subject of this third article, that which hovers within and without us. This Holy Spirit, this hovering God, this one that buzzes about my head, sometimes just outside my knowing, sometimes with kind of a clarity that's disturbing. Come, 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 Holy Spirit, come. Come, 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 Holy Spirit, come. Was ist das? What does this mean? Let me put up here, this is the explanation of the third article in the Catechism. So when Luther writes to help us understand, to try to define the Spirit's working, what it is and what it isn't, this is the language that we've inherited. Maybe let's read it together. It's not too long. Ready? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the sense, same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. I feel like you've been to confirmation now. Some of the kids actually memorized the whole thing, but we at least asked them to take care of that first part, which seems a little bit troubling. It's almost as if Luther has made a mistake, because you read it and you don't want to stumble over it, because he says, I believe that I cannot. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord. Almost stumble over the words because you have to catch yourself to get the point. And he's right. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about my imagination or my choices. My faith is not about my free will or all my good prayers. My faith is not about my achievements or my status or my worth. Who do you think you are? Luther would say. He's asserting that this Holy Spirit, this hovering, this buzzing about my head, it's a gift. It's a gift that God's Spirit comes because I don't have any spirit of my own. That God's gift of faith comes to me because I don't have any faith of my own. God's gift of faith makes God's loving purpose for me this present tense reality. Come, 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 Holy Spirit, come. Come, 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 Holy Spirit, come. Jesus said to his disciples, I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. It's even capitalized in there, the word advocate. Maybe the English translators weren't quite sure what to do with that old ancient word. It's so rich and so full, it could mean attorney or barrister or someone who comes alongside. It's the ancient word paraclete. And if you look at it, you can start to make associations there, right? I mean, para, alongside of. It's not hard to see what it means. I like to think of a cleat on a dock. What do you do with a cleat on a dock? You lash yourself to it. It's a full and wonderful word. This is the part that always tests Kim. How fast can he actually press those slides? But it could mean companion, advocate, teacher, counselor, reminder, coach, guide, helper, encourager, mentor, comforter, intercessor, accompanist, acolyte. Oh, that still small voice, that whisperer. William Willimon says that the Holy Spirit is someone who can tell you a story about you that you can't tell yourself. Jesus is with his disciples in John 14. And we're not altogether certain about the setting. You know, it seems like they're somewhere in the Kidron Valley. They're probably at table. We think it's the Kidron Valley because it's full of vineyards. In fact, in not too many paragraphs, Jesus will say about himself, "I am the vine and you are the..." Yeah. "And can a branch live without the vine?" You see? You can see them at table with glasses in their hands, sharing in that fellowship and that love. There's a contemporary artist who kind of imagines it this way. And it might be hard to see from where you are, but where is Jesus in the picture? Yeah, you can't actually see him because we're seeing the scene through Jesus' eyes. So it's as if those two hands there at the bottom, those are the hands of Jesus, right? And he's looking around, looking at the others who are sitting there. But there are parts of the image that seem incomplete, right? Do you see on the left those kind of scrawlings and scratchings on the wall? It is as if maybe Jesus sees something that still is yet to exist, something that's still taking form. It's as if Jesus is seeing you and me. We're at the table. And Jesus looks at them, looks at John, though, that beloved disciple, that thoughtful and favored one. John looks around the table and he sees Philip, that eye-rolling knucklehead, who at one point says, "Show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Or Mary. Do you see her sitting there? And maybe the smell of the ointment and the perfume is still about her. Well, Peter's there too. Strong, sturdy Peter, who in just a few paragraphs would pull out his sword and try to defend his rabbi, cut off the ear of the slave, only what, a couple days later to deny him three times? They're all there. You and I are there. Come, 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 Holy Spirit, come. Come, 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 Holy Spirit, come. One of my favorite contemporary disciples is Kate Bowler. She's a professor of religion at Duke University. And I've quoted from her book before. It's called Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies That I've Loved. See her kind of edge? She's trying to reconcile some things in her life, and you can feel it in her book. Because yes, it's theological, but it's autobiographical. She's contending with some of those old, twisted versions of the gospel. You know, the idea that somehow I can accomplish something in order to make God happy and reward me for all my goodness. She knows better. She writes in the context of her own illness. You see, as a young mother, she was diagnosed with cancer and now has moved deeply into the process of chemotherapy, trying to find health again. And it's been very, very difficult. She writes about different seasons. And this is a piece from one called The Spring. The spring is trying to make something new, but my world feels increasingly dark. The chemotherapy drugs are cranked up so high that my feet are tender. I've been plagued with lockjaw and a cold hypersensitivity, so that every time I touch anything cool, it feels like I'm being zapped with electricity. I'm apt to forget about this cold hypersensitivity, so my husband hangs a sign on the freezer with a picture of MC Hammer that reads, "Girl, you can't touch this." it's increasingly hard to remember that these side effects are not the same as dying. My toenail came off in my sock yesterday, and my first thought was that it would spook people if I told them. I keep my voice firm and strong, but I feel as fragile as glass. I think the Spirit is here, holding and sustaining and enveloping and refilling all the beloved ones around the table. Those who would gather for a little bit of bread, little taste of wine. Remember again that we are not alone when we're feeling good and we're feeling as fragile as glass. Come. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Amen.